We read from Luke chapter 17, and in verse 32 we have that text, remember Lot's wife. And I want us just to turn now to Genesis chapter 19 to read the narrative that supports that verse that we find in Luke chapter 17. Genesis chapter 19 and reading from verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lords. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for that which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. In Luke chapter 17, we have our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, being demanded by the Pharisees as to when this kingdom of God that he spoke of should come. And in effect, they were pressing him for a time, and they were pressing him for a date as to when this new age would be ushered in. They were looking for this earthly kingdom. They were looking for a kingdom that would come with all of its temporal reign and splendor. But what they failed to realize or appreciate, that the kingdom that Christ was referring to was a spiritual kingdom that would be far superior to anything of David or indeed of Solomon. And we have here in Luke chapter 17 how the Lord is making it very clear that the day of the Lord, the last day, will be accompanied with much confusion. People will be saying, he is here, or he is there. But the Lord tells his disciples not to go after these things. And he makes it very clear in Luke 17 that the day of the Lord, the return of the Saviour on his second advent, it will be sudden, it will be striking, it will be visible, and it will be a sight that no one will miss or no one can ignore. And here the Lord is emphasizing that the Lord's return will happen in his time. It will happen in accordance with the precepts and the plans of God. And no man on earth knows when Christ shall return. How do we respond when, well, perhaps on the media we hear of those that make predictions as to when the earth will come to an end? Back in 2011, it was declared that the end of the world would happen in October of that year. Well, November came, and we were all still here. And the man that made those prophecies and those predictions was shown to be a fraud. He was shown to be a false teacher, and he wasn't listened to. But down through the generations, we have had those that have predicted, those who have made their assumptions, those who have come with their ideas and their thinking as to when Christ shall return. And the Lord makes it very clear that we are not to go after these things. And he gives us two examples from history that would have been known to his hearers to learn the lesson from. We find the first is in Luke 17, how that Noah was used as a picture, that Noah was used as an example. How that the men and women there, they were going about their life, they were going about their business, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and then suddenly the rains came. And in the same way, in the second example that the Lord brings in Luke 17, we have the example of Lot and the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Men again were marrying and eating and drinking. They were going about without any thought to the end of the world. And suddenly the Lord came in judgment, and the Lord came in might. And in Luke 17, we have this exhortation to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Because for us, in that example that we have in her, we have a picture of those who perhaps start well, but they hanker back to the things of this world, and they don't take seriously the warnings and the threatenings and the reality of the judgment and the wrath that is to come. And so we must know these things so that we are prepared for the return of the Lord, whenever that may be. At the end of Luke chapter 17, we have that very vivid picture. I tell you that one night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. We're not thinking here of some kind of pre-tribulation rapture. We are thinking here about the return of the Lord, and when the Lord's people are gathered up, caught up in the air, as Christ descends, and then the world will be wrapped up and brought unto judgment. And so this evening we are to remember and we are to consider Lot's wife. In Genesis chapter 19, we have that account of Lot and his wife and his two daughters and how they make their escape from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and head to the plain and head out into the mountain area and come to the city of Zoar. It's interesting to look at the history of Lot and his family. He was a nephew of Abraham. God had made a covenant with Abraham back in chapter 12. And in chapter 13, Abraham had the oversight of Lot, his nephew. And there comes a point where Abraham's flocks and herds and possessions were too great to be alongside Lot's possessions and Abraham's possessions. And we find that they have to separate. And in chapter 13, we see how Abraham, who would have had the right to make the choice himself and to have the first option as to where his family and his possessions would remain, he gives that option to Lot. And we know from chapter 13 how Lot, he looks out and he sees Sodom and Gomorrah, he sees the prospect, he sees that it's going to be a good land for him to bring his family and his possessions to, and all he can see is the temporal blessings that would arise from being in Sodom and in Gomorrah. We have then the parting of the ways. We find in chapter 17 of Genesis that God makes his covenant again with Abraham. And then in chapter 18, the Lord comes and he appears with Abraham. And then Abraham intercedes for Lot. Do you remember how in chapter 18, the Lord makes it very clear that he's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham comes and says, well, perhaps for 50, if there are 50 righteous people in that city, will you judge them for that? God says, no, not for 50. And then Abraham comes back for 40, for 30, and it comes all the way down. And we find how in chapter 19, the Lord sends his two angels to go to Lot and to deliver Lot, his wife, and the two daughters. And so I want us to think this evening, in the first place, about the danger of Sodom and the danger of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were perhaps the two evilest cities anybody could ever want to live in. Why anybody would want to live there is quite beyond belief. But yet Lot chose to live there because it was fertile for his flocks. There were allurements to it. It looked pleasant to the eye. Yet this city was a city of unrivaled evil, sinful, lawless practices and activities being flaunted and committed in public and by all the people. Did you notice in chapter 19 how it was old and young? All the people from every quarter. There was a perverseness about this city. And we could not escape the shocking scenes that we find ourselves confronted with here. And God has seen this evil. God has seen this wickedness. And he is going to come in righteous judgment upon it. And here Lot faces two great dangers. The one he is told about and the one he has ignored. Well, the one he has ignored is the sin of the city. Lot had brought his family to this place. On every side, they were surrounded by wicked men and wicked women. Here was a city that was quite literally a cesspit of sly of shame. And this is where Lot had brought his family to. And it seems that Lot had made friends. He's counted as one of the elders. He would sit at the town gates. And he and his family, they were living in this place, and perhaps they were oblivious. They had become so hardened, so acclimatized to what was happening, that they failed to see the reality of the sin round about them. And it's quite sad to think that they were quite happy and quite comfortable being in the place of such wickedness and abomination. We know that Lot's son-in-laws, they mock him, and they count him as being foolish. And so there is a danger here that they are becoming like the people that they lived amongst. And when we think about ourselves, we are very much weak human beings. We are very much susceptible to temptations, Temptations can be very difficult to resist, even when we are prepared for them. But they're very difficult to resist when we're not on our guard. They're very difficult to resist when we are standing in our own strength, and we can be extremely vulnerable at falling in such a time as that. And we find Lot living in such a depraved and disturbed society, and we see the wickedness that would happen. These two angels come into the town to rescue Lot and his family, and the men of the town see these two angels, and suffice it to say, they wanted to abuse them and to commit gross acts of sin upon them. We see the insatiable lust for sin, how that even though they are struck with blindness, these wicked men, they were trying to, in their blindness, try and grope and to find the door. And we find Lot is in such a place. Here he had brought his family, and so they were in extreme danger by the places that they lived and dwelt in. But not only were they in danger from the sin of the city and becoming like the people of that city, they were in danger of the impending judgment of God. God had decreed to destroy the city. In Genesis chapter 18 and to verse 20, the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." God came, and God saw, and God would come in judgment and in destruction. And so the Lord, in his compassion, he is long-suffering with Abraham in his intercession. We read in chapter 19 how God had been merciful to Lot, and he comes and rescues him. And so the judgment that would come would be fierce, it would be swift, and it would be utter. None would escape, save those that God had delivered. Now, how can we apply this? Well, for the sinner, and for all of us at one stage of our lives, if we're now a believer, there was a time when we were going away from God. We were living in sin. We were enjoying sin. We were going about like the things of this world. And we would find ourselves in danger from our sins. Our sins would take us further and further away from our God. Our sins would make us more hardened to the things of the gospel. But we came to that point when we were made aware. We were shown the seriousness of our condition, the peril that we stood in, and the judgment and the justice of God that would come upon us if we did not fly to the Saviour. And so we find that Sodom and Gomorrah, and for Lot and his family, they were in imminent and impending danger. God's judgment was coming. But yet we find that God had his plan of deliverance. There was that deliverance that came just prior the unleashing of God's fierce, righteous anger. And these angels that come, they protect and they first bring blindness to those that are coming to destroy and to cause harm to Lot and to his family. And then we find how they take Lot and his family by the hands and they literally run with them to the place of Zoar. Lot procrastinated. Lot was delaying. Lot lingered. We read how the men or the angels laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They are told to escape. They are told to run for their lives, not to look back, but keep going. Keep fleeing. Keep in that direction that was away from Sodom and that was away from Gomorrah. Don't start and stop, but keep going until safety was reached. Well, the urgency was made very clear. And we find that they are delivered from that judgment that was coming. And the gospel, it is clear and it is urgent in its terms. We know how we are called to flee to Christ. We're not told to wait a while. We're not told to deviate to the left or to the right, have a meander through life, think about it on some more convenient time. Or we're told to come now, seek the Lord while he may be found. Or the old hymn writer would say, do not tarry till you're better, or you'll never come at all. And so we find in Christ there is a deliverance. All that shelter in him are saved. But then we find in verse 26 that Lot's wife looked back. His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. They hadn't arrived into the mountain, but she looked back. Did she look back at Sodom and Gomorrah out of curiosity or intrigue? Was she wondering whether or not this judgment really would come, whether this destruction really would be as utter as the angels had made very clear? Or perhaps there was a longing for the past life, a longing for what she had left behind, a longing for the possessions that they'd had to leave in the way in which they had to go without any thought to what they had as possessions. Well, I suspect that she looked back and longed for the city that she had left. She was strictly commanded not to look back, not to rest until she reached safety. Deliverance was assured if she kept going. The rest of the family, they pressed on, not looking back. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became that pillar of salt. And in many ways, she departed from her husband and her daughters. They were all heading to safety. They were all heading to deliverance. They were all heading away from destruction. And she disobeyed in the one thing that she was told not to do. Do you remember the Israelites? They often looked back. They often looked back with affection to the hardships and to the problems that they had in Egypt. Although they would never have wanted themselves to come under the tyranny of the Pharaoh again, they thought about all the things that they'd left behind. The melons, the garlic, the cucumbers, those kind of things. Or they forgot all the hardships and the difficulties, the whippings and the torture that they went through. And Lot's wife forgot the danger. She forgot the deliverance. And she looked back with longing to those old ways. Well, when we find, what we find here is a picture of those that start well. They perhaps make a profession. They perhaps say the right things. They may even be baptized. They may even be joined to a church. Yet there comes a point when they turn away. They turn back. People may have a credible testimony. It may be very convincing. We find that that fruit never materializes. And we find that suddenly they start to fall back. And perhaps they then even turn to apostasy. The Christian faith, we are called to persevere. Keep striving for that crown. Not that we will get there by ourselves, because the Lord keeps his people. But here we have a genuine mark of what true repentance looks like. Those that say that they are saved and yet they go back to their old life, well, is there real repentance there at all? Repentance is turning from sin and fleeing to Christ. And here we have Lot and his family. They are running. They are running to safety. They are running to deliverance. But Lot's wife, she returned. She returned in her heart. Well, we find that in Lot's wife, she became a pillar of salt. She was destroyed. Swift, rapid, immediate destruction. She had been warned not to do something. She disobeyed, and she was destroyed. remember Lot's wife. Oh, we can convince all around us that all is well with our soul, but it is God that we must appear before. We may appear to be on the right road to heaven, but if we are like Lot's wife, we're on that broad road that leads to destruction. We can think about a picture of a drowning man. Yeah. There he is in the middle of the ocean. The lifeboat has come. A line has been thrown. There's been a great shout from those in the boat to lay hold, to get hold of that rope. And people perhaps are rejoicing that individual is saved. But for whatever reason, he refuses to take hold of that line. And the line is pulled in. And he isn't holding it. He drifts further and further away. Lot's wife, she looked like she was safe. She looked like she was close to being delivered. But yet she turned back and she was consumed. Remember Lot's wife. Well, the wonderful thing is that even though Lot's wife is a testament to those who aren't genuinely repentant, it is a testimony to those who appear to start well and never finish. Yet we have Lot and his daughters escaping. They keep on regardless. And we find how they are safe, they are secure, and they are delivered from that wrath and that judgment of God that would come. And when we think about the day of the Lord, when we think about the time when Christ shall return or call time upon our lives, well, we must realize that these things will come very suddenly. It will come when we least expect it. The Lord is spoken of as coming as that thief in the night. The thief doesn't come and give you a pre-warning as to when he's arriving. It is suddenly, it's unexpected. Perhaps even when we are least expecting it, then the Lord appears. Well, when we think about the wrath of God, when we think about the judgment that is to come, we are called to flee. We are called to flee from that wrath that is to come. We're told to come to Christ. We're told to seek Him. We're told to trust in the Lord. We're told to believe on Him. And those who are shown to be true and genuine are those that are kept, those that keep on, those that persevere right to the very end. In the book before the final book of the Bible, the book of Jude, there we have that writer saying these things. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. We are called as God's people to serve him. There is judgment that is coming. We do not know when that will be, but we know that it is certain. And so it is behoved upon us to show men and women, to warn men and women, to prepare them that this day of the Lord is coming. And here in Jude, we are told to, with some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Or may we be urgent in our preaching. May we be urgent in our witness. And may we see those round about us as those going to a lost and to a hopeless eternity. May the Lord impress upon us that compassion for souls. And may we be those that in love preach the gospel in season and out of season to those that want to hear and to those that do not want to hear. Because if they do not hear, how shall they respond and how shall they come to faith in Christ? remember Lot's wife. There's a warning to those who have an appearance of religion, those who just have an exterior of faith in Christ with no genuine heart change. It is a warning to the church that these things are serious. These things are imminent. These things are what we are called to do, is to make known Christ and Him crucified. And it is a warning for us to prepare ourselves for that day when the Lord shall return. Whether it is today, in years to come, centuries to come, the Lord will come. And so we must be those that remember Lot's wife. Amen.